Well, as I was mentioning, the state of Jefferson is a proposed U.S. state that would span the contiguous, mostly rural area of southern Oregon and northern California, where several attempts to separate from Oregon and California, respectively, have taken place in order to gain statehood. This region on the Pacific coast is the most famous of several that have sought to adopt the name of Thomas Jefferson, the third president of the United States. Thomas Jefferson sent the Lewis and Clark expedition into the Pacific Northwest back in 1803 and envisioned the establishment of an independent nation in the western portion of North America, which he dubbed the Republic of the Pacific, hence the association of his name with the regional autonomy. So we shall see what happens. In a moment, we'll be talking with Mark Baird about the state of Jefferson. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. First, let me tell you a little bit about Mark Baird. He's a retired 747 captain, pilot instructor for World Airwaves. World Airwaves operated aircraft on every continent, in addition to supporting military operations and really conflict zones. Mark is currently vice president and past president of the Scott Valley Protect Our Water. Lots of things to talk with him about tonight. Spokesperson for the State of Jefferson movement, as well, as I just mentioned. So we're going to get into a lot of issues with Mark Baird. But Mark, welcome to the program, first of all.
Oh, thank you, George, for having me on. I really appreciate it.
I wanted to, because you're involved in protecting our water, I wanted to talk to you about a couple things. One, that and your experience as a pilot, just to get your take on a couple issues that have happened over the last few weeks and month, and then we'll get into, of course, the state of Jefferson, which I find to be utterly fascinating. I do. But Governor Jerry Brown has basically put restrictions on people because of the state of California seems to be running out of water. How dire, Mark, is this situation out here?
Well, it's actually as much a crisis in management as it is a crisis in resource. In 2013, the governor allowed almost 1 million acre feet of water to go to the ocean without benefiting the human population along the way. And in so doing, then the next year, he was able to cry broke and get a water bond passed. So follow the money in all of these things. Always follow the money.
Are we short of water here?
This is the West. It's a semi-arid climate. There's a 1984 study that looks at tree rings, and it shows that droughts in the western United States are fairly common. Sometimes they last as long as 50 or even 100 years. So we are always short of water in the western United States.
Why don't we have any desalinization plants?
Because we lack the political will to spend the money to build them.
It's a simple solution, isn't it?
It's a very simple solution, and there are many, many solutions like that. But it's very important for people to understand that every day when they eat their dinner, look at your plate, because someone had to grow that food. It took water, it took labor, and it took a lot of capital risk to do that. And it's a very important industry that supplies 25% of the food for the United States of America, and that comes from California.
Jeez. Okay, I wanted to ask you a couple pilot issues, and then we'll move into the state of Jefferson. A couple days ago, in Air India flight, the pilot and co-pilot apparently were duking it out. The pilot asked the co-pilot to do some standard duties, and the co-pilot got upset and said no and started swinging. Apparently, he's had problems with other pilots before. Have you ever been in a cockpit where anything like that happened?
I've never been in a cockpit where something like that happened. I have, however, been in cockpits where there was friction among the pilots, and typically it's handled professionally, and life goes on. But it is, you know, pilots are human beings.
Yeah.
It's possible for that to spin out of control.
And, of course, the tragic story, the downing of that plane, in the German plane, just tragic. 150 people died, including the suicide co-pilot. What in God's name would possess somebody to take down the plane with everybody on it? I mean, if you're going to kill yourself, it's bad enough, but go kill yourself. Don't take all these people with you. What possesses a pilot to do this, Mark?
Well, you know, that's not the first time it's happened.
No.
Either. And that is something that is positively preventable, never should have happened. And that particular problem has a long history to it. First of all, when the airplane manufacturing companies sold the airlines the bill of goods that we should only have two pilots in front because it's cheaper and a lot more cost-effective for the companies, what they did was they removed the third brain from the cockpit. Typically, the flight engineer, a lot of times he wasn't even a pilot, but he was a different kind of thinker. He was a mechanical thinker, mm-hmm. engineering type of thinker, and he was the counterpoint to the pilot brains in the cockpit. And I've been in several airplanes with flight engineers where he would look at the front and say, gee, guys, I don't know what you're thinking, but your altimeter setting doesn't agree with the captain's altimeter setting. and Jeez. Literally could save the airplane.
Sure.
That had a flight engineer or some other oversight, a third brain, if you will, been present on the flight deck, the co-pilot would not have been alone to do what he did and could not have accomplished that task had someone been sitting beside him determined to stop him from doing
it. That's right.
In addition to that, we used to all have keys to the cockpit. I still have keys to DC-10s that don't even exist anymore.
You mean for the door?
Sure. And it was thought then, with the latest round of terrorism and hijackings and airplanes, gee, it would be better that if you have a situation that you can lock the door and we'll hide in the cockpit and let the rear end of the airplane take care of itself. And so they changed these cockpit doors. Now they're bulletproof. You can't kick them in. And they have a keypad. Well, in the past, there was a code to the door, and we would call operations every day and find out what the code was. But then in their infinite wisdom, they decided that, if a guy had to preclude entry to the cockpit, there's a lockout switch. And so you can override the keypad and lock someone out of the cockpit for up to 5 minutes. But remember, the original intent of the cockpit door was as a smoke curtain, not a barrier to prevent entry to mm-hmm. the pilots into the cockpit.
That's right.
And so with the advent of all of this so-called security, you've now provided a situation and a mechanism where literally one of the pilots can be kept out of the airplane. And that does not
mess.
Turn out to be a good thing.
Can you imagine the horror of those people, the passengers, Mark, when the pilot was trying to axe his way into the door? Through the door just to get in. I mean, it must have been horrible, the last few minutes of that flight.
Well, I think probably there's a little misinformation there because there is no axe aft of the cockpit door. The crash axe is located in the cockpit, so he was probably using a fire extinguisher.
Or whatever he could find, I guess.
Yeah. But yeah, I can imagine not only their terror, but that poor captain who knows he's about an inch and a half away from being able to save that airplane.
That's
and he
right.
literally cannot open the door to the cockpit.
Would a crowbar have opened that door?
You know, possibly, but to gain purchase in a small space like that, and the door jamb is located about 4 inches from one of the bulkhead walls, so I don't know whether you could have even gotten leverage to do it then.
Yeah.
There's supposed to be a kick-out panel in the bottom so that people can escape from the cockpit in the event this monstrosity that these companies have constructed couldn't be opened. For example, in a hard landing, if the frame tweaks and then you can't open the cockpit
right.
door, there's supposed to be a panel in the bottom that you can kick out from inside the cockpit and get away that way. But, it's hard to say. And in that situation, with so little time, there was probably nothing that guy could have done to get in.
So sad. And I'm afraid we're going to probably still see more of these.
Yeah, I think that you will, unless some of these outfits adopt the common sense principle and make sure that there's a second person in that cockpit who has the knowledge and the ability to assume control of the airplane
That's
if
right.
something bad happens.
Yeah, exactly. And it's tough enough to fight off maybe, you know, the co-pilot had he started to attack the second person, for example.
Right. Or for example, if you want to station a flight attendant on the flight deck while the first pilot goes to the restroom, well, the flight attendant does not have the knowledge to assume control of the airplane.
Not at all.
So they may be able to start a fight, but they won't be able to affect events, even if they were to disable this guy if the autopilot
yeah.
were off.
Just a sad story. Oh, well. We move on to some other things here. The state of Jefferson, how'd you get involved in this?
Well, we heard Assemblyman Stan Statham, who had this effort in 1992, and during that period of time, 27 out of 31 counties voted overwhelmingly to leave the state of California during a plebiscite. And Assemblyman Statham's bill passed the assembly. It did not pass the Senate because of a personality conflict he had with the Senate pro tem at the time. It never made it out of committee. But Stan gave a talk in Yreka, California, and a bunch of us were standing around afterwards, and we were talking about the disingenuous nature of California's government and lack of representation, and we decided to go at it again.
And here you are. So explain legally what needs to be done if there was going to be this additional state.
Well, Article 4, Section 3 of the United States Constitution, which, by the way, the founders must have foreseen the need to either add new states or create states from existing states.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very simple process. In order to create a state from the territory of an existing state, you need the majority consent of the state legislature and of Congress. So we wrote a declaration and a petition to withdraw due to lack of representation. And so far, we've had 8 counties sign that. We have active committees in a total of 20 counties. And in January of 2016, however many counties have decided to join us, we're going to introduce our legislation for separation.
And give me the odds. What do you think?
Well, gosh, I mean, we're not kids. It's possible the state of California could ignore us. But if they do, we have a plan B, and that is to sue the state of California for lack of representation and dilution of vote, since the northern third of California only has 6 state representatives, and the lower two-thirds has 114. In other words, my county shares a state senator with 10 other counties, but the county of Los Angeles has 11 state senators. So we will sue for lack of representation and dilution of vote, and we think we have a pretty good chance. Now, if California is forced to expand representation, something along the lines of what George Washington envisioned, one for 30,000 is democracy and one for 40,000 is tyranny, we could end up with 1,300 state assembly people.
Wow.
Well, the state of California would see that they would crumble under their own weight, and perhaps then allow us to separate peacefully.
Interesting. Now, the name Jefferson, obviously you got it from our third president.
Yes, that's the passing nod to adding the Louisiana Purchase to the territory of the United States. And people were so excited at that time that there were probably 11 states that wanted the name Jefferson.
Your seal is 2 X's. What does that mean, the state seal?
Well, in 1941, there was another attempt to separate from California by some counties in southern Oregon and a few counties in northern California. And that's the state seal is a yellow circle that represents a gold pan for our heritage and our history. And the 2 X's represent double-crossed by Salem and double-crossed by Sacramento, because we were the forgotten region in California and in Oregon, and we're still the forgotten region in California.
These areas that want to be part of the state of Jefferson, what are they really upset about?
We're upset because we have not got the representation to do the simplest things in our own lives. We're subject to rules and regulations by legislators from afar, between 500 and 900 miles away. For example, it was largely urban legislators who passed the SRA fire tax in California, and their constituents don't pay the tax. So we're taxed, but we have no say over how the taxes are spent, and we're subject to the government of California, and we have no representation within that government.
Is this a federal issue at all? Can the federal government step in and say, no, not going to do this?
No, not really. According to the Constitution, and there were also a basket of Supreme Court opinions that put us in this position in the 1960s in the Warren Court. And where California and 38 other states used to have a model of government called the federal model, where roughly each county had one state representative. And Earl Warren declared the federal model of government within the states unconstitutional, even though the states themselves have the federal model of government, where every state has two senators, no matter how big or small, no matter how sparsely populated or densely populated. So literally, Earl Warren said that although the Constitution is acceptable for the states, it is not acceptable within a state. And that's how we came to the position where the state assembly is simply a rubber stamp for the state senate. And that's where we lost our representation, because California had the federal model of government prior to 1965.
We're talking with Mark Baird about the possibility of a 51st state called the state of Jefferson. Now, if California, for example, wanted to secede from the nation would step in, government would step in, don't you think?
Yeah, certainly there is no precedent to do that legally and not constitutionally. And if people want to read about the details of the process, our website, soj51.net, has all the information for each of the counties. But what we're saying really is that we have no representation in the government that is supposed to serve us. And remember, people created government, not the other way around. When the servant becomes the master, so to speak, it's up to the people to take matters into their own hands and change and alter that form of government. And that's what we're doing.
Could the states of Oregon and California simply say, okay, ciao, you're done, goodbye, and let you put together this state?
Oh, they certainly could, and we hope they do. That's
the plan, huh?
That is the plan.
How many people would the state be consisted of?
We would have a state of roughly 1 million people. We would not be the smallest state. We'd be number 45 or 46. We would not be the least populous state. Once again, we'd be 46 or 47. And we would not have the smallest economy either. Our financial models on our website show that we would start out with an economy about 15% bigger than the state of New Mexico. Oh, and by the way, we'd have no place but up to go from there, because we have been regulated and subjugated out of most of our historic businesses by the state of California. That's why we're doing this.
Are other regions in the country, Mark, are they upset enough to have their own state too?
You know, George, the Warren Court and the Reynolds versus Sims opinions, Baker versus Carr and Gray versus Sanders, affected every state in the union. It changed the process of government by fiat, without benefit of the people and without benefit of the legislature and without benefit of the process outlined in the Constitution to change that document. Every state in the nation is literally affected by this. It caused a situation that the dissenting justice, I believe in the Gray case, called an entirely city point of view. Literally, when Reynolds versus Sims was issued, it caused the United States of America to change from balanced and equal representation to a system where urban centers run politics for the entire nation. This could change things for everyone if we succeed.
If you want more information, of course, on this, we've got a website linked up for you for Mark Baird. And this is really different. This really is different, Mark, where if you had a vote of this region, right, of Oregon and California, where those counties were located, do you think you would win overwhelmingly to do this?
Oh, yeah. In 1992, 27 out of 31 counties voted overwhelmingly.
Wow.
I'm not talking about 51%. I'm talking about in the 60s and 70s.
That's huge. Mark, stay with us. We're going to come back and take some phone calls with you next on Coast to Coast AM. Hi, by going to our website, check our events, and track my schedule under the highlights reel, by the way. You'll see my latest venture off to Kent, Ohio this weekend for an incredible paranormal conference. So if you're in that area, come on by. And then I'm going to be in San Mateo, California, assuming it's not part of the state of Jefferson yet. You never know. And that should be a great event. And then in June, Vancouver, British Columbia in Canada at a huge event. And you can still pick up tickets for that too. All of this at coasttocoastam.com under our events calendar. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I've got to meet her. She sounds sweet. We're with Mark Baird as we're talking about the new state of Jefferson, proposed new state. You've got eight counties now, Mark. How many do you need? Can you get by with eight?
Well, there's no rules in Article 4. There's no minimum. We think we need between 12 and 15 to have a viable state, but as I said, we have active committees in 20 counties, and we get calls periodically from counties we don't have efforts in. They want to join too. People are tired of being subjugated by a government from afar with no empathy about how we live our lives, and what we need to do is restore liberty and constitutional republic to a small rural state so that people can have some say over how their lives are conducted and how their money is spent.
The federal government may not like two more senators and a handful of congresspeople.
Well, that's interesting. I spoke to a couple of United States congressmen, and they say that the arithmetic on the federal level is pretty good right now. Now, Article 4 is interesting because it does not mention the governor and it does not mention the president. So we don't think, our legal opinion is that we don't need their signature to proceed.
Okay, so even though you proceed, you'll get your two senators if you become a state. Isn't that correct?
That's correct.
By law, I would guess you would get your two senators. Generally, this state would skew, I'm just curious, politically.
You know, everyone thinks that we're pretty far to the right, but actually we think, and our count shows us, that we would have around 550,000 Republicans and about 450,000 Democrats. So it's not as far to the right as one would imagine, but we're looking for inclusion and we're looking for balance. What we want to do is restore liberty, and we need a lot of different opinions to do that, and we need to include people because liberty includes everyone. Now, what you want to do with your liberty is your business, but without that, nothing else matters.
Who would your governor be?
We don't know. Not me. So when we finish this, I'm going fishing.
And you're going to just take it easy for a little bit, huh?
Yeah.
Give me the odds now on this possibility of getting done, realistically.
Well, I think the odds are good. I'm not a big time waster. My wife and I have a business. We have a ranch. We're very busy people. This is a tremendous amount of effort on behalf of a lot of very, very good people who are working really hard to bring opportunity back so that our children will stop leaving and our businesses will stop leaving and we can restore an economy in this beautiful place where we're blessed to live. You know, Thomas Gordon said in 1721 that every plowman knows the difference between good government and bad. He knows by how much of his produce he gets to keep. And in the state of California, if you make a dollar, the state is going to try to take 98 cents of that.
Yeah.
And our intent is to stop that so that we can have some say over our own lives. And we think the chances are pretty good.
Where would the capital be?
We kind of talked about that, a lot of us, and somewhere in the middle so that it's easiest for people to get to, perhaps Red Bluff, someplace like that.
Would you build a little building or something for a state capitol?
You know, it's funny because in rural Northern California, there are so many abandoned buildings. I think what we'd probably do is just rehab one of the abandoned shopping centers in one of our cities and use that.
Yeah, that's interesting. Okay, let's take some calls. David in Seattle, Washington. Welcome to the program, David.
Hi, George.
Hi.
Hi, Mark.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing well, and you?
Oh, well, getting by. And my comment is more, not really a question, it's a speculation. I was just wondering, what if, has anybody given the thought to Canada maybe sharing their huge watershed with the lower 48 and being paid for it, and you say you want everybody to have a chance to contribute to a new U.S., a new beginning? And, well, George, you have this show, radio show, and a large part of your audience is the Canadian
People. They listen.
Why isn't it that somebody couldn't suggest running pipeline, water pipeline down from Canada.
God, they can't even get an oil pipeline going.
And it would create jobs for Canada and the U.S. both, and a huge amount of jobs. Canada could be paid for the water, and it would revive California overnight.
What do you think of that, Mark?
Well, I've flown over northern Canada hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times, and I've got to say there's more water than earth up there. If I were the Canadians, which of course I'm not, I would build four or five huge pipelines, and I would sell water to the United States, and my people would never pay taxes again.
That's a good point. You could sell it like oil, couldn't you?
You sure could.
Let's go next to Edward in Sparta, New Jersey. Hi, Edward. Thanks for calling. You're on the air with us.
Greetings from Sussex County.
Hey, hi.
The west frontier of New Jersey.
Before you become another state.
I've drawn up some years ago a document called the Sussex County Articles of Secession.
Aha.
A direct descendant of the very first founders of Sussex County in 1760.
Back off your phone just a little bit, Edward.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Is that better?
A little bit, yeah.
Yes. We want out of New Jersey. We are one county. I had speculated on the possibility of uniting with Warren County, which is the next county south, and Hunterdon, for a new state with three counties. But if that doesn't succeed, we want out of New Jersey. We don't want their property taxes. We don't want Trenton, and we don't want any more of the tax barons of Ellis Island. Can you help us anyway?
Yeah, you should package this program, Mark, and take it all over the country.
You know, George, people came to this country, and they created government. And people have to remember, this was not a huge expanse of land with a government in place waiting for people to subjugate. This was a country where people came to find liberty, religious liberty, economic liberty, and so on. And liberty is all that matters. Without liberty, you're not going to get to keep any of the money. And without liberty, property doesn't matter because you're not going to get to use the property to help yourself. So I've been all over the world. I've been to five conflicts on behalf of the United States government, and I was a participant in one of them. I've seen the socialist paradise in its glory all over the planet, and it is a failure. And tens of millions of people suffer and die under that model of government. Constitutional republic and liberty work, and that's what people are crying out for, and you're going to hear that more and more and more in this country until we restore liberty as the founders envisioned it.
In this recent attempt to create a separate state, how long has this been going on?
We got our first declaration from Siskiyou County, where I live, in September of 2013. We plan to introduce our legislation in January of 2016. And if we're ignored by the state or the federal government, we're going to sue them for lack of representation and dilution of vote and try to upset that case, that basket of cases called Reynolds versus Sims from the Supreme Court and restore liberty to this state and possibly the country.
To give people a better perspective of this location, what are some of your cities in terms of size? What are some of the big cities there?
Well, as I said, our entire state, in the best case, would have around 1 million people. So
right.
I think Redding has 80,000 people. The nearest town to me, Yreka, the county seat of Siskiyou, has 7,500 people. So it's a very small rural area. My county has 6,500 square miles, and we only have 40,000 people in the whole county.
Wow, you've got Mount Shasta there too then, don't you?
We have Mount Shasta. We have the Siskiyou Wilderness Area, the Trinity Alps, the Marble Mountain Wilderness, the Klamath National Forest. We have some of the most beautiful and abundant resources in the state of California, and we're not allowed to touch them by government fiat.
We've got James in Johnson City, Tennessee now. Hi, James. Go ahead.
Good morning, George. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, James. Okay.
James.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
My first question is going to be about the political demographics, but Mark already answered that, so I guess I'll move on with the second question, and that is, have you guys done any historical research about other failed states in the United States? I live in East Tennessee, where it was once known as the state of Franklin. It was the state of Franklin for a few years in the late 1700s. The idea was then kicked around right just prior to the Civil War to separate from the rest of Tennessee.
Huh.
And I was going to ask if he had heard about the state of Franklin specifically, right, and if he'd read about other failed states in the United States, and how Jefferson would differ from those failed states, and if they've got any answers or any solutions that those other states had problems with. And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you, gentlemen.
Sure thing.
Yes, I have heard of the state of Franklin, and there were many other efforts, and the Article IV process has been accomplished four times in our nation's history, and the last time, of course, was West Virginia from Virginia, and then before that it was Maine from Massachusetts in 1820. The thing that sets Jefferson apart from some of those efforts, we do possess the resources, and we possess the knowledge to use those resources so that our state will absolutely be economically viable, and we have a population that knows how to use the resources. We have the talent, we have the industry, we have the land, we have all the components necessary to restore a constitutional republic with a part-time legislature and a very small footprint on people's lives, if you will. And that's our goal, is to restore liberty for our children and our grandchildren. And I think that we will have no trouble succeeding with that.
Okay, we go to Dave in Los Angeles now. Hi, David. Welcome to the program.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, Dave.
My question is concerning the water that you guys are mentioning. Why hasn't anybody brought up the Victor Schaubert water systems?
I'm not familiar with that. Mark, are you?
I'm not familiar with that name. I may be familiar with the infrastructure.
Tell us more, David.
His background is structuring water. His philosophy is the law of numbers. So you have a billion tiny whiffs of air, can move a mountain. He used the vortexing technology to purify water, and including, making a machine that took distilled water and made it into healing, natural, living water. And just structuring your water in these infrastructures, like in, what town was it that you were from, or a city that you were living in?
I live near to Yreka, California, not in town. We live about 40 miles away.
If you were to, let's say, structure this new state and it succeeded, and you're still worried about the water, if you were to end up structuring the water, having vortex systems in your city municipal water system, your runoff can be purified within 9 hours. To pure drinking water. I don't understand why. I mean, I hear, everybody talking about this, water, 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 but we're not treating it like it's alive, we're not treating it like we need to.
Well, we're wasting it, I think. Go ahead.
There are some small cities in the Los Angeles basin that are treating sewage water, and they intend to recycle that so that people can drink it.
Yeah.
We have a little bit of a different situation in rural Northern California. We have plenty of water here. Our problem isn't the water. Our problem is the management of the water, or the mismanagement by the state of California. But certainly those technologies are welcome. And as I said before to George, we have all the talent in the world. We certainly have enough brains to do things like that. We just need to be allowed to do them by a government who chooses not to allow people to progress, but insists that people live in this retrograde fantasy of doing more with less and more with less and more with less until finally we're all broke and we're all gone.
Let's go to Holly in Riverside, California. Holly. Good morning.
Hi. Greetings, y'all. I wanted to question your guest on this comment about the desalinization process, about the government didn't have the backbone. What I recall is another version. It was went along something like the plant had almost been completed, but for some reason, rain started coming, I think, and snow, too, started coming out of, by some miracle, so much so that they decided to close the plant back down, and that's the reason it wasn't finished. And another thing, seems to be going through the conversation, is the put down of this Democratic government here. But it's funny because Democrats here, and I think Republicans too, like the government. He pulled us out of a big debt, so God bless Jerry Brown and President Obama and all the other goodwill people here in this country. Thank you.
Welcome.
Well, it's not actually, I think maybe we were misquoted there, because we're not actually putting down Democrats. I'm a member of neither party. I couldn't care less about political parties. What we want is the opportunity to have representation in state government. And we've been denied that by a Supreme Court process. And in the North State, in the rural North State, both Democrats and Republicans have been denied representation at the state level. And so that's what we hope to restore, is a legislature where each county has a minimum of one assembly person, and each county enjoys equal representation in the Senate, much like the federal model of government that the United States has. So this isn't about Democrats or Republicans. It has nothing to do with Jerry Brown, per se, or President Obama at all. This has to do with restoring liberty and representation to the 20 counties of Northern California, no matter what party you're in.
What does the federal government say about this? Has anybody offered you any feedback?
Well, right now, the federal government seems to be doing the same thing the government of California is doing. They're kind of hiding under the desk and pretending we don't exist, but we now have eight county governments who have signed on to this. And it's getting a little hard for them to ignore it.
Yeah, sure is. And if people want more information, Mark, on what you do and what your group does?
It is SOJ, Sierra Oscar Juliet, 51.net. And all the information, our financial models are on there, what's happening in each one of our counties, what our county committees are up to, samples of the declaration. It's all on the website, and people can get all the information they need. And if they want to help us, because we're pretty sure a big lawsuit's going to be involved, they can also contribute to help with that effort.
Now, of course, if there's a big suit, this thing could go on for a long time, couldn't it?
It could very well go on for a long time. But, you know, George, the revolution in 1775 wasn't settled in a year or 3 years or even 5 years. So this is a marathon, not a sprint. And our object is nothing less than restoring liberty for our children and our grandchildren, and that's worth however much time it takes.
Keep fighting the good fight, Mark. Thank you for being on the program. Appreciate it. When I come back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM, as I've been mentioning for some time now, people are acting weird. I mean strange. So we're going to talk about that in open lines, and that includes calls from you right here on Coast to Coast AM.